start with a psalm of praise. And I've entitled this message, Created to Praise God. And I want to look at Psalm 100. And we're not going to be necessarily studying this psalm, but we're going to work off this psalm. And I actually sent this morning to all the Connect group leaders and a few more, just in case you want to discuss this. I sent my whole sermon notes to you all that are leading Connect groups, just in case you want to discuss this in your Connect group. So you might not want to, that's fine, but because I know some of you do follow through with the messages, I think it's important that we're all on the same page. And Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout or noise unto the Lord. I love how it says that, because it's talking about singing. And you know, some of us can't sing. All we do is make noise or shout. And he says, well, regardless how bad you are at singing, make it joyful. So as long as it comes from a joyful heart, it doesn't matter whether it's praise the Lord or praise the Make it joyful. So that's the key. Make a joyful shout, a joyful noise, a joyful sound unto the Lord. All you lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Our attitude in everything we do has to be with gladness, not out of pressure. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Now this psalm gives us a command about how to enter into the presence of God, not what grants access. Singing doesn't grant you access. Singing is not the key to enter his presence. But singing is the heart and attitude in which we enter in. We don't enter God's presence because we sing. We sing because we're entering God's presence. And it's an act of the will. It's a choice that we do regardless of circumstances. So he says, make a joyful noise. So that's our attitude. Our attitude is to make a joyful noise. The spirit in which we do it is serve the Lord with gladness. The manner in which we do it is we come before his presence with singing. And the posture or our approach is we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Why? Because the Lord is good. That's why. He is good. Because the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You see, we were created to live and breathe in an atmosphere of praise-filled worship to our Creator. Where is our purpose in life? To worship and praise the Lord. That's our purpose. In everything that we do, we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable act of worship. Everything we do has to be an act of worship to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything. Everything. The sun, moon, and stars, the waves, everything has its own unique sound. And it's all praising God. You see, a walk of praise-filled openness to God will help to cultivate a deep devotion, faithful obedience, and constant real joy, which sees through circumstances. Joy, not happiness. Happiness comes from the word happenings, and it's environmental in nature. So if you get good news, you're going to be happy. If you hear some bad news, you're going to be sad. But you can have joy in spite of the circumstances, knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are forgiven, knowing what your future holds, knowing that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, knowing that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? Knowing that you are more than a conqueror, that you are loved by a loving Father who sent his only Son. That is joy, regardless of the circumstances. Happiness, well, I could tell you, hey, I'm giving you all $1 million today. You'll be happy. And then when I say, ha, 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 just lied, you'll be sad. See, it happens. You can go up and down just like that. Just like that. But we can have the joy of the Lord regardless of the happy or sad. And a walk of praise-filled openness to God will help to cultivate that joy, that constant real joy. See, Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are commanded as a church when we come together to sing together and to each other. Ephesians 5:19 says the same thing, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is not just something we do just to kind of warm up for the service. Some people think, oh, singing warms us up for the great, the good part of the service, the sermon. That's why you're here, isn't it? We're here to worship and fellowship everything we do. We worship when we give. The offering part is not just the financial part. It's part of our worship. We worship when we pray. We worship when we sing. We worship when we're listening. We worship when we're praying. There's only one true way to worship. Only one. I know you might say, oh, no, there's only one. Every other way is wrong. The only way to worship is in spirit and in truth. You could do it on your knees, on your seat, with your eyes open, eyes shut, but it's got to be in spirit and in truth. Any other worship other than that, it's not valid. Jesus said, we must worship in spirit and in truth. And here we're told to do it with singing. Or, as a psalmist put it, with a joyful noise. And some of us, our singing is just noise, but as long as it's joyful, that's what matters. Now, there's a lot of benefits in praise. You see, powerful praise gives birth to victory. And I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles 20:15. I've only got parts of this, what I'm going to read to you next on the slide, so you've got to listen. 2 Chronicles 20:15. Listen, all of you of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Wow. So it was an army, a great multitude coming up against them to kill them and destroy them. That's a terrible thing to think. And God says, don't worry. Don't be dismayed. But then he says this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. Whew. That without that bit, you think, don't be dismayed, just stand there, shut your eyes and die. But he's not saying that. He's saying, the battle is not yours but God's. And then he says, tomorrow, go down against them. So don't run away from your enemies. Confront them, look them in the eye, because you know that you're more than a conqueror. You know that you have greatness in you, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. You know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And when you stand in that, you can run up to your enemy, look them in the eye, and know that they are a defeated foe. It says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Position yourselves. What does that mean in today's word? Position yourself. It means to take a firm, unshakable stance of faith in God's word. It means to obey God even when you cannot see the outcome. Position yourself even though a whole army, a great multitude is coming against you. Stand strong in God's words and promises. Position yourselves. And then he says, stand still. Be still and know that I am God. Stand still. To stand still means just be quiet, chill, don't worry. And then he says, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up. And what do you do when a great army is coming to kill you, to destroy you, and they're greater than you? What do you do? Do you fear? Do you cry? You sing! Sandra, where are you coming up with this? I don't know. God made it up, not me. I'm just reading what he says. What did they do? They stood up, to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So what do you do when a whole army is coming against you? When all hell breaks loose, when the situation's out of your control, when the pain is bad, when the issue does not seem like there's a way out. What do? You confront your enemy and you sing. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, I didn't even know I could do that, but don't know what came over me then, but that's what we're told to do. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And if it stopped there, that's good, but it keeps going. So they rose early in the morning. See, they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait. Come on, let's go and confront this multitude. Early in the morning, they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem." And this is important. It's not just about singing. Because you could sing, you know, "Shout through the heart and you're to blame, darling, you give love." You are all, you know that song? It's not about singing. It's about how we sing, who we sing to, and what we sing about. Although Bon Jovi's not bad. He says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." So it's not just about singing. It's about singing in faith, in belief, in proclaiming God's word and believing what the prophets have said. And then, listen to this. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, the singers, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went before the army." They went before the army. So we've got where's Phil? There's Phil, Vicky, my brain's gone. There, and who else was singing today? Danny, you were singing today. So these people went out for, and who was there, someone else singing? Oh, you were singing too, sorry. There you go, I was looking at the words. So these people went out first, you see. No, they didn't. They're not. Yes, that's what we did today. Didn't we start the service with singing today? Why do you think we start our services with singing? Because the singers go out first. The musicians go behind. And then we wait. If they don't get killed, we follow them. I love it. If they get killed, run. Their hearts weren't right. That bit I made up, okay? That just destroyed my whole message. But it says, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. This is a war. This is a battle. This is the enemy coming to totally destroy them. And they go out and the singers go out first. Those who should praise the beauty of holiness. They went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." So they were singing this beautiful truth. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, not when they began to shoot, not when they began to run, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. They won the war with music and singing. Isn't that awesome? I get excited about that. This is a powerful weapon God's given us. Not just singing, but singing in faith, singing in worship, singing, and we worship in spirit and in truth. See, the worship team went out first into the battle. That's what opened up the path for victory. That's why we always start our services with singing, not because we're waiting for those of you that are coming late. Hello. Goodness gracious. Pretty early today, by the way. It's not for that we sing. We start singing because the musicians and the worship leaders have the amazing, incredible, awesome, and scary responsibility of bringing us into the presence of God. and defeating the enemies, bringing down walls, taking us to the third heaven. And when the pastor walks up to preach, the stage is set. We're already in the third heaven and we continue to enter his presence. No pressure, Phil. Where are you? No pressure. No pressure, singers. They're thinking, oh my gosh, why did I have to be on today? Because you were... because you are... In Psalm 68, 25, where he starts to talk about the enemies and wars and stuff like that. In verse 25, he says, the singers went out before, the players followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. The singers go out before, the musicians go after. So, musicians, don't worry, the singers go first. If anyone's going to be slaughtered, it's there. So you've got a bit of time. Then the musicians, then everybody else. We have an interesting God that has given us weapons for our warfare, which are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, if you know your Bibles. And it's not a sword, and it's not a slingshot, and it's not a gun. It's singing, music, praise. I know, it sounds like, really? I don't know, that's what I'm seeing here. And we have a lot to praise God because the battle belongs to the Lord, amen? We need to stand still and position ourselves because we're more than conquerors and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We have a lot to sing about. It doesn't say that they were told not to be afraid because naturally you would feel a little bit afraid. You're going to be battling your emotions when you're in a difficult position. Not only that, but we also see that praise cures dry times. In Numbers 21:16, we read from there they went to Beer, which is the well. Imagine having a well called Beer. I'd really like to find this well. I don't know what goes through your mind, but a well called Beer. I'd love to find you as well. You just keep bringing them in. Come on, church, let's go to Beer today. Drink up. Anyway, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, gather the people and I will give them water. It's just water, so. Then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, all of you, sing to it. You see what's happening here? Have you ever been in a spiritually dehydrated moment in your life? A little bit dry, trying to get closer to God, but just exhausted emotionally, physically, spiritually? You see, praise is the cure for the dry times which comes to us all. We all experience them. King David spoke about being thirsty, like a deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts after you. Now, there's four truths that we learn from this. First, we have God's instruction. Gather the people together. So first, God says, gather the people together. So there is unity and power in corporate gathering. You know that? Now, they weren't feeling good. They were dehydrated. They were exhausted. They were emotionally drained. And usually when we feel like that, the last place we want to go to is church. We don't want to be around them happy people. But that's the time you need to be around people. That's the time you need to be around people who are going to sing, who are going to praise God, who are going to lift up the name of Jesus. He says, gather the people together. When Solomon finished building the temple and brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, we read in 2 Chronicles 5:11, it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites who were the singers, see, the Levites who were the singers, it all comes back to the song. And all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar clothing white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. In other words, guitars, bass, drums, pianos. And with them, 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Wow, this was a band. This makes last night's Akadaka concert look like it wasn't loud. Two of you got that, okay. This was loud. And then in verse 13, we read, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. Important. When the trumpeters and singers, when the musicians and singers not just did their own thing, but when they came together in unified oneness, in agreement, to make one sound. Okay? Important. They came together to make one sound as one in unity. To be one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. They were singing the same song. Listen to this. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Wow. When we get together in unified corporate worship and praise, the presence of God can be so thick that we just fall to our knees and we can't do much because his presence is so overwhelming. That's why when you're thirsty, when you're dehydrated, when you feel flat, when you don't want to be around people, you need to make the conscious decision to force yourself to be where your body, your flesh, your spirit doesn't want to be. And then we see God's promise. I will give them water. Water represents life. Jesus said, talked about the living waters. I will give them water. So we are to gather together. God will give us the water. And then what is the people's responsibility? What's our responsibility? Then Israel sung this song, spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. Our responsibility is to sing. What's our responsibility? To sing. Come together and sing. I know it sounds like I'm preaching a new doctrine by the look of your faces. I don't know. You're looking at me like, this is weird. Well, maybe I got it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's in the Word. So you come together and sing. You sing to your well. You sing to your well when you're thirsty. When your well is dry, what do? You sing to it. But I don't feel like it exactly. You're not going to feel like it. It's an act of the will. So our lesson is that in times of pressure, anxiety, depression, don't stay alone. Gather together with God's people, especially praising people, regardless of your personal feelings. If someone comes to see you and says, I'm down and out, I'm depressed, go and grab, if you can't play music, grab your CD player or whatever you play music on and put worship and praise music on. It will change the atmosphere. It will change the atmosphere. Let your song be one of thanksgiving for past blessing, a song of faith in God's promises for the present and the future. I could keep talking about this, but praise does so much more. Praise also stops the advancement of wickedness. We're reading Psalm 7:14, the wicked conceive evil. They are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. They dig up. I mean, these are terrible people, and we've all encountered that. They dig a pit to trap others and then fall into it themselves. They make trouble, but it backfires on them. They plan violence for others, but it falls on their own heads. And so what does the psalmist decide to do? I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. I will. I don't feel like it. But I'm going to make the conscious decision. It's an act of the will. You've got to go against your feelings, your emotions and your fears. And it's I will. I will. I don't want to, but I will. It's okay. You've got to be honest. I don't want to, but I will. See, David says, he's talking about how the wicked falls into their own trap. They reap from their troubles. they have caused. And he says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Most High. When wickedness and iniquity come against the believer, praise is the answer. Temptation to sin and live wickedly will soon disappear in the face of sincere, powerful, worshipful, audible praise. The writer says, I will praise the Lord. So as I said, praise is an act of the will. Sometimes we do. I mean, some of you that go to work because you have to, because you've got to pay the bills. You don't wake up necessarily every morning saying, great, I love my job. I can't wait to get out of my house and my happy place and the things I love doing and go to work and face my boss and those people that give me a hard time. Most of us don't do that, but we get up, we look at the time, and unlike coming to church, we make sure we get there on time or early because we want to get paid. It's an act of the will. You go against your feelings and emotions because you've got to do it. Don't we, James Coles? James, I'm sure that you get some people that are difficult at Coles, don't you? No, never. You can't lie, brother. Come on, we're in church. We're in church. Adrian has a good job. He deals with honest people. No criminals, no crooks, no one that ever breaks the law. His job's easy. He loves his job. I'm not saying anything else. He loves his job, but he has to sometimes. He knows he's going to confront issues. Well, he's not sure if he's going to even have to get his gun out. That's not a happy thing, but I will. I will go to work. I will be obedient. I will praise the Lord. I will. You see, it's not just an exuberance overflowing with words, but it's self-induced declaration of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice. Hebrews 3:15 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. It means you've got to make an effort. I will. It's a sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So in other words, the praiser, the person praising, chooses to praise regardless of surrounding circumstances. You choose. You say, I will praise the Lord. What are we going to do? We can't pay the bills. I will praise the Lord. What are we going to do? We're getting hard done by. Let's praise God. I don't feel like it. Exactly. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. The praiser doesn't wait till conditions are favorable. But he offers praise. God is worthy. We got to make. We can never take life for granted. And we can't take for granted the wonderful weapon God's given us and the privilege. See, it's not just praise God because he wants to feel good about himself. Praise is good for us. It's good for us because it changes our focus. It takes our focus off the circumstances onto the one who said, be still and know that I am God. The battle belongs to the Lord. You won't need to fight this battle. I've got this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, give it to me, and I'll give you peace of heart and mind. The one that says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Not when it feels good, but especially when it doesn't. You know, praise is so good. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. I put a lot of pressure on them now. They're going to have to praise God like they've never praised him before. I want to see the roof blown off this place. I don't know if you know John Piper. He's a great theologian who I really respect. And John Piper was called to help a young woman who was in a state of extreme weird anger, and to everybody around him seemed like she was demon possessed. It wasn't that she was just angry, it seemed supernaturally evil. And the situation was not like anything else that he had ever encountered, and he tried reading the Bible to her for a couple of hours, but she resisted violently. As the situation escalated, someone started singing a simple chorus. Someone just started what we sang before, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So they started singing that, simple, one word. Others joined in and then they added their own words to the melody. Hours of scripture and words could not accomplish what this one-worded song did. The woman reacted intensely, falling to the floor in convulsions, flopping around like a fish and screaming at Satan not to leave her. She was screaming, "Don't leave me, Satan." She eventually went limp and became unconscious. And when she came to a few minutes later, she was completely different in appearance and in voice. Piper handed her a Bible and asked her to read Romans 8, which I don't think any demon could do peacefully. And she read it, and she was later delivered from that spiritual attack. And Piper considered the event an extraordinary display of God's power through a simple song. Demon left a woman through a simple song that we just sung. Don't tell me that the weapons of our warfare aren't mighty. Let me conclude with this. And ask the band just to start playing quietly behind me. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. What a terrible thing to go through. None of us would want to go through that. They were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was ordered to make sure they did not escape. So he took no chances and put them in the inner dungeons and clamped their feet in the stocks. Big long day. This was getting close to midnight. They get beaten severely, thrown into jail, into the lowest dungeon, cold, wet, rats, horrible. You'd be feeling sorry for yourself, but what did these guys start to do? Around midnight, when by then I would have given up it, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. As you do at midnight after you're beaten to death and thrown into the lowest dungeons. Singing to God. And the other prisoners were listening, probably thinking, what a bunch of nutcases. Until suddenly, hallelujah, don't you love that suddenly there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Woo! What brought them freedom? What opened the prison's doors? What got them out of those chains? Singing praises to God. We don't just sing because it's what we do in services. We're bringing down walls. We're casting out demons. We're bringing down blessing. We're defeating the enemies. We're going against the circumstances which are trying to say to us, you don't have a song to sing. But we say, he's put a new song in my heart. Again, like I said, it's not about when we feel like it. This is especially when we don't feel like it. Do it. And wait and see what happens. Music has the power. That's why the devil uses it. It's a powerful tool in the wrong hands. It's like a gun. It's powerful. It can be used for target shooting. It could be used to hurt somebody. Same with praise or music. Or music can destroy a community. The wrong type of music. The Charles Mansons, the Marilyn Mansons. They're doing it for the devil. And they're making a big impact. But we do it for God, because we know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in Marilyn Manson. Amen? Let's sing to God, church. Come on, let's sing to God. Let's sing like we never sung before. Amen?